Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. This is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation. I'm coming to you live on Facebook with our great friends at InterTalk Radio and live from the last day of summer NAMM here in Nashville, Tennessee. So thank you for joining us. Remember, we're always with you at the NAMM Foundation Talking at Music Education podcast also. I'm here with the last podcast of summer NAMM with a very special guest, Crystal Morris, President and CEO of Gator Cases Levy Leathers. Welcome, yes, Crystal.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, wonderful. Wonderful, escaped from the exhibit hall floor.
Yeah, it's a little quieter in here.
Yeah. 3 days you've been exhibiting upstairs. I've had good traffic.
It's been awesome. Yeah. It's so much fun to get to interact with your customers and see all your friends in the industry.
Yeah, it's great. Great. So fun. And Nashville is a little quieter than our NAMM show in January, right?
Well, this year I had Sabian across from us and they had the guy banging out the cymbal, so... Not I would definitely say it's quieter.
Yeah, quiet. Yes, well, we have to talk about getting a whisper booth down in that of the trade show floor. Well, as we always like to start with Talking Up Music Education podcast, a little bit about your origin story.
Yeah,
you know,
that'd
be great. the story that people who are in our industry and doing wonderful things in the industry kind of go back, and there's some music making in there in that story.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, I mean, I guess it's kind of two parts for me because I grew up in a family. My father was in the music industry and the product side also. So I grew up around it. We had artists and instruments and all sorts of things in the house. And when I would go to visit him at work, so I got to see it that way. And then also I took piano growing up and it was very important to him that he exposed me to music. And actually it's funny, I just recently was working on a different presentation and found this magazine, or it was for band instrument, like little accessories, and I was playing the tambourines in the ad in the early 80s, so in a product my dad sold. So
wow,
yeah,
so there's actually a picture of that. You'll have
there
to
is.
Share you have to share that
there
with
is.
Me.
Yeah,
we can put that up with the podcast promotion.
Oh, I don't know,
right?
Maybe a little
should
80s
it, should it go viral?
Maybe
no.
Not
no.
Yeah,
we
had some big braces.
Those of us in the 80s really aren't so proud about going back there, but I was an adult in the 80s.
Yeah.
So
well,
you know,
I had some crazy
what were we
hair.
Thinking?
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. I was pretty young, and I think my mom had taken the very short haircut approach. So.
Yeah. What were we thinking?
Yes.
So how long did you play the piano? And was it the classical training and all
Yeah,
the
I mean, I took piano lessons probably for 5 or 6 years, mm-hmm. Maybe more, all through like elementary and through middle school. And then I got really active playing competitive tennis, and that kind of ended the piano lessons. They just started conflicting. And
right. So tell us about that competitive tennis thing that you did.
Oh, yeah.
Through
so,
high school, college?
Yeah. So, I played, traveled all over playing tennis, and such a great, like, as I look back, it's nice to be able to play a nice game of tennis now. But more importantly, I think it like kind of teaches you, you work hard, then you sometimes get beat down. You know, you go and you win, but eventually you lose and you got to get back up and go do it again. So when people talk to me about running a business, I think that history of, you know, doing something you work hard at and you don't always win, you don't always get immediate gratification, but you go back at it, I think is some valuable lessons.
The tennis story.
Yeah.
The tennis story.
Or anything,
I mean,
sports or music. Yeah. I mean, all of it's like that. It's not... Yeah. It takes a lot of hard work.
You know, early, you know, going back a couple of decades when women were really just accelerating in their role in leadership, so often it was, you would talk about the comparison to the women that were engaged with sports were doing quote-unquote better.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
And there was actually a lot of research about it.
Oh.
So like the first wave of women that were achieving sort of that upward mobility within difficult environments, like being a partner in a law firm and, you know, they would sort of be profiled or better understood what their background was. And there was just a lot of sports.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Because it's difficult and you have to work hard at it.
And there's team stuff like basketball.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so that's a part of your story, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's, I think it was instrumental for me.
Yeah. So then did you come into your father's business? Is that how Gator Case was born in a collaboration?
A little bit. I mean, it's kind of a little bit of a trail to get there. But when I graduated from college, I had a business degree. And then my dad said that he thought I needed to get a real life MBA. So he helped me get these different jobs in different businesses. So everything from like working in a distributor in Argentina to working in a freight forwarder in Miami to a marketing firm. So I did this for a period of time. And it was a great experience. Went to Costa Rica, supposed to work on Spanish.
I
had a little more fun there.
I didn't know about this loop. This is really...
Yeah. So I had that period of time right after college that I did that before I directly worked with him. And then I joined a business he had that was somewhat like a rep business in the music industry, really specialized in international sales. And one of the companies, I really got involved in the marketing. So that was kind of where I started to learn about marketing and running that part of the business.
So he was really a mentor to you.
Oh, absolutely.
At that point.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Kind of the structured sort of approach. And then you got to go here and you got to go here and come back and tell me how you did. And
Yeah. And I think...
Plus being your dad.
Yeah. And the thing that was awesome about him and through all these different experiences was he like let me kind of own it. And if I failed, he was cool. Like he didn't jump in all the time. He let me kind of figure my own way out, which I think and was supportive. You know, most things we can fix. So if maybe he'd support me, my decisions and gave me chances to learn. So
that's really great, though.
So it was awesome. So that was kind of the early period. And then I met my husband I was at the time living in Miami. He lived in Tampa. And so decided to move to Tampa and go back and get my real MBA. And so I was working on that when this idea of this opportunity to do a case company came about. So literally it was like founded around our kitchen table.
So it didn't, your father had other businesses, but not Gator.
No. So one of the companies that he repped was a case company
and
they parted ways. And when they parted ways, it seemed like an opportunity to.
A gap emerged.
Yes. An opportunity to dive in. And so we just were literally sitting around the kitchen table. He was thinking about maybe repping another case company. We're like, well, let's just do this ourselves. And, you know, I was in business school and I was taking this accounting or finance class and we were studying this idea of a variable cost model. So I was like, we can do this with like no money. We can outsource everything.
Crystal, no money, right?
So honestly, we started with $12,500 we capitalized Gator with.
Wow.
And pretty much up until a recent acquisition, I've never carried any debt.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a successful company.
So, yeah, right. So that's pretty cool.
How old is Gator since that moment?
18 years. Yeah.
And just now one of those emblematic brands, right?
Thank you.
You kind of don't see a band that's touring load up without Gator sticking out the back of the 18-wheeler, right?
It is so fun. You know, everywhere you go now, it took a lot of years for it to be like that, but it's... I was actually in Nashville a couple of weeks ago walking around and I'm walking down Broadway and I see, you know, our cases propped up in the different venues.
I have a live music venue not far from my home. It's on the way to the train into the city, New York City. And, you know, there's every Tuesday or Wednesday, there's tour buses and 18-wheelers and off the back come Gator cases. So I think about you a lot.
Thank you. Well, sometimes I wonder where they all go. So that's
great. they're moving around in this. Yeah. So how many products are in the line, quote unquote? You've branched out.
Yeah. So we definitely branched out. So in the case or kind of the Gator business side, we have about 950 SKUs. So there's cases, there's other accessories, stands, speaker stands, mic stands. Mm-hmm. And then another big part of that business is OEM. Mm-hmm. So we work with all sorts of leading manufacturers to do the design and make all their cases and bags for them.
And how many employees at Gator?
Total, we have 185 employees, including levies.
Creative and marketing, yep. And the manufacturing is now is also U.S. and offshore.
Some U.S. and some offshore.
Yeah. That's great. So along the way, you moved up through the company, right?
So we started this thing together, literally was in my guest bedroom. I set up the GL structure for put accounting system in place, mm-hmm. place the purchase orders. So I did kind of all the operations side of the business and the marketing. And then my dad, who had, long history in the music industry, did all the sales and really product. So designing mm-hmm. the product, working mm-hmm. with the manufacturers. So we kind of had split duties.
Clear.
And it was kind of pretty clear which was, and we kind of just let each other do our thing in those areas. And he was great about that, just letting me do it.
You keep saying that, but I think you probably also really showed him that you just could do it.
I just think that I see some times where you get run over in particular in family businesses where you kind of don't want your kids to fail sometimes or you don't. And I don't even think it's necessarily fail, but just I've been down that path. Here's how to do it. And so letting someone do the self-discovery. And then when you do something that's awesome and it works, you get self-confidence and you know it was you that did it.
So he was really good at that.
Giving me room to breathe.
Yeah. So then you took the reins, right?
I guess kind of the abbreviated story was that about 8 years ago, I actually walked into his office and noticed his face was drooping and instantly thought, he'd had a stroke. And so that was this wake-up call of, okay, something's going to change. So obviously, we went on a plight to figure out how to medically, seek out what was going on. But for me, I was like, oh, wow. I mean, today I could be here by myself running this company.
Change is going to happen. Right.
And I spent a lot of time thinking about it because I had young children at the time. And I was like, am I up for this? He was always there. He's the sounding board. You pick up the phone, you talk to him. Right. We had offices next to each other with a sliding door. And beyond that, there were skills or relationships that I didn't have. And so I literally after a month or so, I wrote this list of okay, here's the things I think I have to do. And then am I willing to go do them? And interesting enough, one of them was to get on the NAMM board. So I went on a mission to get on the NAMM board.
I like that you had a list.
I did.
You had a list. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. I think I read this quote I love that ideas are just dreams until you write them down and they become a goal. So I just, I looked at our customers okay, these are the customers I've got to build my own relationship with. And as a female and somewhat of a young female, I was are they going to respect me? Can I build the relationship? Same thing with, we have a lot of offshore vendors in Asia that
can be very complicated.
Yeah. How do I build relationships with them? How do I make sure they trust me and know that, I know what I'm doing and that there's going to be a lot of future success. So I just had this list and I went to work at it and made the commitment that I was going to get on the airplanes and go all these places because to build relationships both, on the supplier side and with your customers, mm-hmm. you've got to go there and you got to be there and mm-hmm. see them.
So you didn't know when the next change would occur, but you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And you faced the fact.
Yeah.
And you just took the steps in that direction.
Yeah. I think that moment when I was this could have been it, I was like, I have gaps. I've got to fill these gaps.
Right. And that takes a lot of self-awareness, right? Or something, right? I mean, you just,
Or fear, I don't know,
and that what you were building was really important, to your dad's legacy, whenever it would occur or however, right? And to what you wanted to do in the future.
Well, and I feel tremendous responsibility to all the people that are part of Gator. Their families are dependent on it. I have 185 families that depend on us doing a good job now. So
now you are a bona fide commander-in-chief of Gator, right? Really, not very many women in that role.
There are not enough women.
In our industry, but even across
all
industries, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Small business, large businesses, top management. Was there you know, we could spend hours talking about that. But does something kind of, a couple of things stand out in terms of things? I mean, you talked already about could you go out and develop these relationships and have a mutual trust? Could you be kind of the boss and have that authority? Are there things that you just had to just keep working at? I mean, that maybe every woman that wants to do this has to just admit is part of the path? I mean, is it?
I don't know. I think, like, for me and thinking about leadership, like, you have to figure out who you are. Like, I think it's great to have lots of mentors that you draw on for ideas, but the more you can just know who you are and be you, then I think you know where your starting point is.
Your own skin, right?
Yeah. It goes back. And you feel good in it. Like, you know, and so following my father, I have very different management style than I personally have, but that's okay. Like, we don't need to do it the same way. So I just think figuring out who you are and then going back on the side of like going out and meeting customers. I personally like think if you're good, you can get people's respect. So I would never just show up and be like, hi, I'm here. I mean, I'm going to come with, and probably maybe two, and maybe that is part of fighting the facts of, you know, being a woman and wanting to gain respect. Like, I always show up with things to bring value. So I'm going to come prepared. I'm going to come with ideas that are win-win for us to grow our businesses. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not showing up just to go to dinner. I mean, not that I wouldn't love to go to dinner later, but I want to show that we could add value. And I think that ultimately was where I was able to gain respect and just an awesome network in the end of mm-hmm. friends and
you have
colleagues.
A phenomenal network of friends.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm grateful to be one of them, and you know, starting on the board, and we did some stuff at had so much fun at the Republican convention in Tampa in the rain.
Yes.
It was really great, and you also are really, you know, very conscious of giving back to the industry. So tell us about something you've actually helped. You're part of the triumvirate
of the
SWIM Fund. What does it stand for?
Smart Women in Business or in music.
Sorry, yeah.
I mean, I guess when I first joined the NAM board and we talked about the circle of benefits, and it just like clicked to me. And the idea of circle of benefits is, as a manufacturer, we spend money with NAM to exhibit and come to these things. But how does that turn and go back to give back to music education and creating music in the future? And it just clicked, like, okay, this totally makes sense. This is like a win for everybody. So then when we got this opportunity and a couple of things, I mean, so the NAM Foundation as a whole, I think, does such a beautiful job of taking the idea of reaching into all these nooks and crannies of all these wonderful programs across the world that are generating interest in music and all these unique ways to get other education. And then that kind of leapt into this idea that Robin, I think, really led the charge on, but I was really thrilled she called me to be a part of it as far as getting more women involved.
And there's a gap.
There's a huge gap.
You know, kind of the gap analysis.
There
thing,
right? I mean, you sit in any room and it's like, I mean, Robin and I were laughing because we were in a room the other morning talking about SWIM. And I mean, it's, I don't know, definitely less than 20% mm-hmm. of the room is women. And that wasn't even, you know, that could have been more at mid-level management. I mean, at the highest leadership levels in our industry, it's a very small handful.
It's small single digit, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So we want to change that.
Yeah. So now we have a formal fund in the NAM Foundation. It's raised, we just kind of ran the numbers this morning, we just over $40,000.
That's awesome. Yeah. We just, I mean, what was it, 90 days ago, 120 days ago?
It was middle of April.
Yeah.
So 680, I don't do so well with numbers of the month.
Not that long ago.
Not that month. Yeah. 90 days ago. Yeah, it was just great. Which means it's a gap that resonates.
It does.
And people are willing. So this SWIM Fund is going to grow to offer mentorships and scholarships maybe and a
education.
Pro, a summit.
Our initial goals are going to be to be able to get more women to the NAM shows. Mm-hmm. There's so much fabulous education that goes on beyond exhibitors. I mean, there's just education all day long. So being able to get more women here to put together a mentorship program mm-hmm. with women and help have funding so that they can perhaps like fly in and shadow their mentors and spend time with them. And then we're working on a symposium, I think, for 2019, where we're going to mm-hmm. take a group of women to NAM headquarters mm-hmm. in Southern California, which is a beautiful facility. And and really work on leadership and training and networking.
Yeah. It's really mobilized people just on the idea level. There's not a schedule of programming yet. I mean,
We're getting there.
but that's coming. But, you know, the whole, it's just mobilized people. It's given people a lot of inspiration. A lot of women I'm talking to are just going, wow.
You know, the other thing that I love, though, is how many men have approached me.
Yeah, yeah.
That was surprising me because, like, women, I get, like, you know, but I love the fact that leaders in our industry that are men are like, I really hadn't thought about this. You're right. Mm-hmm. We need more women. How can I help? How can I contribute?
And I think there's sort of a realization, too, that there's a talent development stream that can move, can affect any company.
Absolutely.
Right? And many companies that are seeking, well, how do I bring that talent stream along? You know, it's like we have to be, you know, my favorite word about that is we have to be deliberate about it. We have to do something about it.
We have to think about it.
So you and I are sitting here with a little bit too much concealer maybe because what happened last night? Let's talk about last night, Friday night, Summer NAMM.
What
did you do in less than 30 days for the NAMM Foundation?
I mean, it's so funny. Like, I guess there's just always like a little bit of fate and the right people coming together. And so months ago, and I think over a couple of years, we've discussed the idea of putting together a party at one of the NAMM shows to benefit the NAMM Foundation. And it just kind of perfectly came together to do a night last night at the Hard Rock. It was, I think, a blast. All these manufacturers, I mean, literally one sentence emails, hey, can you get behind this? All jumped on board.
22 sponsors,
like all, you know, amazing brands. And then we had this just kind of hodgepodge of amazing artists that played.
Including an IP lawyer, the NAMM members' leading accountant, who are all rock and rollers.
Joe Amon, our CEO of NAMM.
Our NAMM Foundation board members, our vice chair of NAMM.
Yeah.
It was the director of market, the director of professional development.
I had an assortment of Gator staff
I
that
saw
jumped
the
up.
Gator band.
The Gator band that they threw that together last week. In our conference room, Howard, Paul from Benedetto Guitars, like, flew in just to play for a 30-minute set.
Yeah.
But I think, like, part of, actually, to me, the magic of it was watching all these people that we work together, maybe know each other, pass each other in the halls of a trade show. Like, there's just something awesome about music, right? When you get people together and they work together. And I was privy to many, many emails putting this thing together, but watching the different little bands we put together and they're emailing each other, figuring out set lists and just brings everyone together.
It also reinforces the community.
It does.
That, you know, it's almost like we call it the NAMM-ally.
Right? It is. It totally is.
And, you know, you look at the swim fund relative to the NAMM-ally. Well, the NAMM-ally kind of sat down and realized, you know, we got a little work to do over here.
Yeah.
And let's put together this little project so we can maybe bring this part of the family needs to get a little bit of attention. Huh? You know, I mean,
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. It is. It's like, I mean, I just think we're so lucky to be in such an amazing industry. Like, I get so excited to come to the NAMM shows. Obviously, you know, I'm happy to sell some product, but it's more about the people. I mean, I think every aspect of business and life is about the people you put in it. But it's just, this industry is made of amazing people. Yeah. And like last night, everyone's up in the front supporting each other and dancing.
Taking care of each other.
Taking care of each other towards the end of the evening.
A little bit of taking care. It's all good.
All good.
You know, and we were part of the Nashville Friday night scene, which has really become something.
And Nashville is crazy.
Yeah, really something. And I think we had a very high quality of music, though, relative to other music that
we were
hearing.
I think so, too.
Right.
But I think all the bachelorette.
Oh, yeah. We had a crash, though. I told you that, right? One of the bachelor's parties crashed our party.
There we go. We have arrived.
Yes, I thought, check. That was good. We were worthy of being a
crash. Exactly.
It was really good.
We have come.
Right. So before I ask kind of the last question, the second to the last question is, you've been doing, you've been sharing with me kind of on the side that you've been doing some very interesting leadership training. You spent some time at Yale and what's that been like for you? Why did you say, time out, I need a little time for me?
I can't think of anything more important than continuous education, and I've always done it. I love it. I love sharing ideas, hearing new ideas. Normally, the people that you're in a room with that are doing continuous education just are all inspirational. And so I love that aspect of it. But then this past year, I kind of really dove in and did this year-long program at Yale where you're on campus for 5 weeks. So
that's
that was
a big,
big commitment.
With a kid looking for colleges and a merger.
We did this acquisition. It was a little trying, but it was a blast. I mean, this program was amazing. There's 40 of us. I think 25 were from outside the U.S. So it's just so global and just makes you think and get your mind going with ideas. And it's hard to be away, but my experience is like getting out there, that's the only way you can learn and get this idea generation to take your business to the next place. And it's not only like external, like what kind of products, like I mean, part of some of the best learning is like how to run your business, how to like make great culture and make it a place where people love to work and just let you take a little time out so you can take the time to think about that and then go figure out how you can go back and execute it.
Did you have to write papers though?
No.
Thank goodness.
There's just a lot of case study reading. Like everything in life, it's all what you put into it.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you put a lot of work into it and you take the time to read all the reading then and the assignments, you get more out of it.
Right. That's great. So what's next for Crystal Morris?
Gosh,
Swim fun.
I mean,
we got to plan another party.
Another party.
Right.
We're going to kill it next summer, NAMM. I don't know. I totally love what I'm doing. It's just like new challenges every day with, we just, you know, recently acquired Levy Straps, which is a great fit for us with the accessory side, but it's a Canadian company. So, I mean, there's all these things I hadn't even thought about, but now you're dealing with, just with currencies. And so I just think continuing to find the next opportunities and just growing the business. And then I love the whole aspect of giving back. Like I love giving my time to mentor and work with young entrepreneurs in particular. And love giving back to this industry and being a part of it.
Well, we're certainly grateful. And it's just fun to know you, Crystal.
I feel the same way. I mean, how many notes do I send you? You're like my favorite person. You just do so many amazing things.
Let's just keep having some fun.
We are.
Along the way.
We're having fun.
So thank you for joining this. We just got to slip me a note that this is the 61st episode of Talking at Music Education with my special guest, Crystal Morris from Gator Cases.
Well,
thank you, Crystal.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
It was great. And thanks for joining us for this episode of Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Namm. That's Mary L. N. A. M. M.